Go to Genesis 17. We're going to talk about turning back the time clock. Say, turning back the time clock. I am going to show you today, scripturally, you have an inherited right to have your life and physical body renewed. There is an inheritance that you can be renewed and God can turn back the age process because you are a son and daughter of the Most High God. Hallelujah. He has a body he purchased for you. You're going to get a glorified body. But according to Romans 8 said, the spirit of him that dwelleth in you, he will quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That's the Holy Ghost draws the life of Christ out of the veil of Christ and he releases that resurrection life into your mortal flesh. That's good news. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, say 99, a very important scripture, 99. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. I'll tell you right now, I had never heard this message before until Joanne sent this to me. And be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. So God's telling him at 99, he's going to do it. Amen. Now, let's see where Sarah's at. Verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, for as for Sarah, thy wife, Sarai, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her and give thee a son of her. So he said, it's coming through her loins. Yea, I will bless her. She will be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell on his face. You'd think he's falling on his face in humble reverence. He's laughing. He goes, oh my God, can a child be born unto him that's 99? He actually said it about her. Shall a child be born to him that's 100 years old and to Sarah that's 90 years old? And he's laughing. Then he said, oh, that Ishmael would live forever. God, I wish he wouldn't have said that. He had it in his loins, see. You have too much authority. You better watch what you say. In the presence of God, because God will honor everything, even the other stuff. That's the problem. Everybody wants authority with God. Listen, you have authority to birth with God. You can birth out of the flesh or out of the spirit because Abraham had two sons. We all have two sons. We have a capacity for flesh and a capacity for spirit. You have great authority for a person who has not allowed their flesh to be tempered by the Most High God. You'll take that authority sometime and birth the wrong thing. And when it gets birthed in the earth, the devil says, I can have authority of that now. It came out of the flesh. And since Abraham birthed that, there's been war with Isaac and Ishmael. And there'll always be war until Jesus puts that war out. Politicians will never put that war out. Not ever. Nobody on the earth but God alone is going to put that war out. Go to Genesis 21, verse 5. How old was Abraham in Genesis 17? How old was Sarah? Genesis 21 verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born, right? So, from the time of Genesis 17, there was 1 year when God said, you'll have a son, all right? Something remarkable happened in that 1 year. So remarkable that King James could not translate the next few verses I'm going to give to you because they had no idea what God did. They translated it wrongly, so I had to go to Hebrew to find out. Hallelujah. Genesis 18, verse 2. And he, now remember in 17, he was 99. He's still 99. From 18, 19, 20 up to chapter 21, he's 99. He turns 100 years old when Isaac gets born. So all of chapter 18, 19, and 20 happen while Sarah is 90 years old and Abraham is 99. 1 year, all three of those chapters. All right? Abraham, Genesis 18, verse 2, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. He was visited by the angels of the Lord. And when he saw them, he ran and met them from the tent door, 18 and 2, and bowed himself towards the ground. Look at verse 9, for time's sake. And they said unto him, the angels, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, she's in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife. Now he's telling him at 99 years old. It sounds like God's going to say in 50 years, I'm going to return to you. There's only 1 year here. Sometime in that year, she has to be impregnated too. Because he's 99. Not a lot of time there, if you know what I mean. I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, will have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. Underline that. Old. Not just old. Well stricken. Say well stricken. That was there for a reason. You know what well stricken means? She's showing it. She's showing the sign. She is stricken with the age. You can see it. She's been struck. They were struck by lightning. She'd been struck. And him too. Both of them were struck. That's what happens when you're 100 years old. 90 years old. You ought to write that one down and put a big smiley face by it. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So, and Sarah laughed. Both Abraham and Sarah laughed at God when he told him, you're going to have a child. Why? They were old and well stricken. Their child birthing capacities had been long gone. Sarah goes, are you kidding? After 50, maybe 55, I've been done for over 35 years. 40 years. That was 40 years ago. That's why she fell on the floor and laughed. Abraham. Mighty through God. Believe God. Against hope, believing hope, became the father of many nations, you know. Big faith man. At 99, he's laughing at God. She's laughing with the father and faith. Oh. They're laughing at God when he's telling them. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore, verse 13, did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child which I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything too hard? God's about to perform a miracle. Man, when I saw this, I said, I got it. I can have it. At the time appointed, I will return. See, he says it again, return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, you think, again, he repeats this. So look at this verse 10. He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Now look at this verse 14, he says this. Now if you're not reading from King James, you probably got an incorrect translation. Is anything too hard for me? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. He offers a little bit more. At the appointed time, I'll return unto thee according to the time of life. But when's that going to be? 50 years? Because we got to have a baby within 1 year. That means within at least 3 months, we've got to conceive. God's thinking, I got a appointed time, I'm going to come unto thee and return unto you according to the time of life. And you can imagine King James in the 16th century trying to decipher that verse to find out what it meant. Because the real meaning, they're probably looking at each other and said, there's no way. There's no way. Everyone say, no way. But God. So, I'm going to get a little bit Hebrew on you here today, all right? Verse 10 and verse 14 says, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time. You see, thee according to the time. See that? Thee according to the time. Exact same thing in verse 14. Thee according to the time. In the Hebrew, there is no Hebrew word for thee, Hebrew word for according. It's one word, and it's time. They added thee and according. It's just one word there. Time. That's it. It was a word for time. Time. Then he added of life. Time of life meant I'm going to return unto thee according. Time of life is conception, childbearing time. A time where your birthing faculties as a lady or as a man to conceive or impregnate and her to conceive. That's the time of life he's talking about. I'm going to return unto thee according. But the thee and according one there is just time. Wow. gets better. When he said, I will certainly return. Say return. Here's where the King James boys, when they got together and huddled up, they said, there's just no way. Because you know what the word return means? Are you ready for this? You can look it up. Strong's Greek. It all says the same thing. It means turn back. Turn back. I will turn thee back. I will turn thee back, Abraham. I will turn thee back, Sarah. I'll turn you back to the time of life. I'm going to take your age that you were well stricken in years, and I'm going to turn you back down. I'm going to back time out of your body. I'm going to back it up out of your body. I'm going to back age out of your body. I'm going to back the well strickenness out of your body. I'm going to turn you back. Say, turn me back. I want to go back to 30. I don't know about you, but I like 30. I said, I want the vitality I had at 30. I want the 30 body I had at 30. I want the health I had at 30. I want to exude a 30-year-old countenance. Turn me back. Everyone say, God, turn me back. At the appointed time, I will turn thee back unto the years of the time of life where your body was able. He just didn't impregnate a dead womb. He turned them back. He reversed the age. He took 40 or 50 years right off of their body. Well, I don't know about that, Pastor. I don't know that that's what that means. I need more proof. Since you will have proof, you ask for it, you will get proof. He said, I'll certainly turn you back to the time of life. Now, when's the last time, really, the average time you can stop actually producing 50 bearing children? What, 45, 50? Let's say 50 is a good, she's 90. He's 100. She had to turn her back a whole generation. He said, Sarah, I got to back you up a whole generation. I was talking to Jill about this. She goes, you know, it's just God. He waits too long. That's what happens. He has to do that kind of thing because he waits too long. She goes, that's the problem I have with him. He waits too long. And now he's got to back her up because he waited too long. I love Jill. I will certainly turn you back to the childbearing age. I'm going to turn your body back. I'm going to take a generation off your body. This is the part we didn't see. I'm going to take a generation off of you. I'm going to turn you back to youth. You're going to have the dew of youth. What was her condition and his condition? Old and what? Well stricken. I'm so glad he put that in there. Y'all ready for this? I need proof. How old was Abraham in chapter 21? In 21, he's 100. In 17, he's 99. Go to chapter 20. Either that or we got a king that has some serious issues. You'll know what I mean here in a minute. Either King Abimelech has some serious issues. We have a Sarah that's a hot mama at 90 years old. Now, you know, King Abimelech, he's a king. He can have any woman he wants at his will. In them days, they just chose him. You're in my harem. You're in my harem. Here comes Sarah, well, stricken in years. We just made our journey. King Abimelech goes, oh, man, mama, well, stricken. I like the well, stricken. Bring her on up in my harem. Man, God turned her back. She was well stricken in age, and God did something with her. Man, made her look, oh, man. Abraham says, woman, you look good. Tell him you're my sister, because I know he's going to want you. So what happened? Why would they even conceive? At 90 and 100, you'd think he was even in them? Well, let me give you the verse. Chapter 20, verse 1. Abraham journeyed from hence towards south country, dwelt between Kadesh, and sojourned into Gerar. Now, they'd been on a journey. Now, you think they've been on a journey. He's 190. You think the last thing that Abraham be in his mind, if she was well stricken in years, that King Abimelech would want her? They already knew God did something. He turned their body back, and Abraham woke up one morning and said, man, who is this concubine that come up in my tent? Where is my wife? He's going, oh, Lord, thank you. He done woke up. She was going, hey, you don't look too bad yourself, old man. If I got 40, you probably got 50 years. I'm kind of glad you're looking that good.
Verse 2. You ready for this?
And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. I'm going to introduce you as my sister because these people don't take no prisoners. He said, just say you're my sister, mama. And Abimelech, a king. Say a king. He's a king of a city. Do you really think that he would have wanted Sarah, well stricken in years, some traveler that walked up into the city? Man, she had it. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Man, she walked up in that city. He said, oh my, I think I'll have her. And he took her because Abraham said, she's my sister. And God came to Abimelech in a dream and said, you are a dead man. In a dream, didn't even know he's, you are a dead man. And he goes, what? He said, that is not your wife. He said, I didn't know. He goes, I know you didn't know, so here's your warning. Give her back. And Abimelech, man, he scolded Abraham. What are you doing to me? In fact, God, he took away the childbearing of Abimelech's family until he restored that, made it right. And then Abraham had to pray for God to reverse that so Abimelech's family could have children again. They didn't even do nothing. Abraham got Abimelech in trouble. Mighty Abraham of faith. I will certainly, Abraham and Sarah, turn the clock back according to the time of life. I'm going to take a generation of age off of you. Your body's going to reflect my glory. And you're going to give birth again to a promised son. You know what good news that is? It don't matter what you and I have been through. It doesn't matter what we've borne. God has the power to turn us back. That's not going to happen by drinking carrot juice. You can drink carrot juice all you want. You're not going to reverse back. You might preserve a little bit, but you are not going to reverse a generation off your body with carrot juice. Makeup industry, vitamin industry, they're all just trying to keep you where you are. Go no further. Take my product. Only God can dial it back. And I said, Lord, show me. See, my whole deal is I got to see it in the right hand of God because that's the throne of grace. If I can see it there, I can go up and access it. How many times have you heard me tell you, you cannot have what you cannot see? You cannot apply faith for something you can't see because spiritual things are unseen to the natural eye. If you can see it, you can see it. You can have it. But the things of God cannot be seen with a natural eye. But they can be readily seen by the spiritual eye because this word brings light. And when it illuminates something, then your faith says, oh, I see it. I see a whole lot of things. I see a coming revival. I see a coming wealth transference. How do I know that? I've seen too much of it. You couldn't convince me if you tried. I've seen it. I've seen what God wants to bring into the earth because the Holy Ghost lets you take journey into the life of this word and he opens the eyes of your understanding. And so you're walking by an unseen with a natural eye, but boy, you close your eyes and I see something totally different. If you don't have nothing working inside you, what is the Holy Ghost going to birth? I mean, when he came to Abraham, he said, you're going to have a son. He gave him the stars to look at, the sand to look at. He had to get something working on the inside of him. You got to carry something. You got to carry heavenly things. You got to carry things in the unseen realm. That's the way God does it. He brings the unseen realm and lets you carry it and apply faith towards it. And then it releases into the realm of the seen. Let me tell you something. For those who know God, when it manifests, it won't be an old surprise. Because you carried it a long time before manifestation. All you're saying is, God, I'm glad you did it. It's about time. Because you didn't carry it for so long. You wanted it to happen 20 years ago. You know what I mean? All right. So let's see if we can find this inheritance in the right hand of God. Because if we can, that's the throne of grace. It says, humble yourself under the mighty right hand of God. Then you can come boldly under the throne of grace. What's the Bible say in Romans 5? We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So if I can see it in the throne of grace, I can have it. Amen? Or is it just a Sarah and Abraham thing?
Go to John chapter 5. Verse 26,
you have to see everything that's been given to the Son. If it's been given to the Son, it's yours. Because everything the Father gave him was for you. Amen? John 5, verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, he hath given to the Son to have life in himself. See that? That's pure Zoe resurrection life. It's the same life that took your dead spirit and raised it into life. Amen? So he raised it up. Now, according to Romans, I want you to go to Romans 8 real quick. Verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken. That means release. Quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwell in you. He's quickening you with a life. It's the same life that created your spirit and brought it from death to life. He releases that life into your body. Now go to Psalms 110. We have such a great inheritance. You know what I don't want to do? I don't want to enter into heaven having wasted my life and for the Lord to show me all that I did not access. He said, you did good, but look what all you missed. Look at all that. Look at all you missed. I don't want to cry those tears. I don't want to see that. I want to have it here. And I want to have it in a very big way. To arm your understanding of what's in the throne of grace. So when you go there, you pull down. You've got to learn to move in the realm of the spirit and draw down what belongs to you. There's a lot up in there. A lot. It's more than just unmerited favor. If that's all you see grace is, you won't go after because you have no revelation of what grace is. Well, it's just unmerited, unearnable favor because you've heard that 100 times, but you hadn't even tasted of the unmerited favor, much less of the king, priest, government that's up in that grace, of the righteousness, peace, and joy, or the power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. He inherited that for you. Amen. Psalms 110, ready? A psalm. The Lord said unto my Lord. The Father's actually saying this to the Son. This is actually a prophetic psalm at the resurrection of Christ after the cross. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. You'll see this reference in Hebrews, Ephesians, this very verse. So the Father said to the Son, come on up here, Son. Sit at my right hand. This is in his resurrection. This is when he becomes the appointed heir, the king. And God gives him, as the Father had life in himself, he hands the life over. All right? And the Lord shall send the rod of strength out of Zion. That's where he rules, out of the right hand of God. Zion is the right hand of God, by the way. That rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. The people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Look at this. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast what? The dew of youth. The dew of youth. He is sitting in the right hand of God, and the Father says, Son, you have the dew of youth. And all that come into the throne of grace has a right to call upon the dew of youth. He reneweth my youth. You know people who walk in the anointing? People who really walk, they don't age a lot. Sometimes they stay in that youthful count. But you know, you can draw that daily and come in. I need the dew of youth. Amazing what all we'll do to preserve. But I'd really rather have something very real to me that I can see with the eye of faith. Because the Lord doesn't lie. If he has the dew of youth, I can have the dew of youth. But I got appropriate by faith. So I present my body daily. I say, Lord, Clothe me in the dew of youth. Clothe my mortal body with a life that floweth from the throne. He showed unto me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, proceeding out. This is Revelation after his ascension, proceeding out of the Lamb. The river comes out of him. He has been given the life of the Father. It's administrated by the living waters. He has the dew of youth. You have the right to present your body before him and receive. And receive healing and divine health if you can believe it. You can't believe it if you can't see it. That's why you need to see it and have a revelation of it so you can apply faith for it. Because there's coming days, my friend, I'm telling you prophetically, that the world and its system will cease in its ability to take care of humanity's problems. There are going to be things coming up on this earth that human ingenuity is not going to be able to solve. And you better have your body under the shadow of the Almighty and have your family under the shadow of the Mighty. And you better learn to do it now, or you're going to be one of those that are going to be hysterical about what's coming upon the human race instead of one of those that are walking boldly as son and daughter of the Most High God. You got to develop faith for those kind of things. That's what this church is about. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. He has the dew of youth. Go to Psalms 36 and we'll close with this. I like also, I'll quote this Revelation 21. Let me share it with you. It says, I will give unto him that is athirst freely of the fountain of the water of life. I just happen to see the dew of youth up in that. Amen. Clothe me. Say, Father, clothe me in the dew of youth. Clothe me in the dew of youth. I'm going to tell you something. The throne of grace is going to become a great reality in the body of Christ in the last days. The throne of grace is not going to be some distant place that's inaccessible, that nobody's getting anything out of it. It's going to be an awesome reality that's going to be displaying and releasing very real things in demonstration and manifestation. Tina had a word Thursday night, said the fruit's hanging over you. It's already been birthed. It's hanging over you. You ever seen low-hanging fruit? The trees bend over and say, pick me, please, because I'm about to fall. Trees are being bent over, with hanging with fruit in the spirit right now, and just ripe for the picking. If you don't pick it, it's just going to fall anyway, because it's just hanging over because it's so full up in there. The only reason why some of you are looking at me like, oh, my God, what tree did he fall out of? I fell out of the tree of grace, and I'm climbing back in. I fell out of the throne of grace, and I'm coming back in because there's a whole lot there. I've already tasted of it. I've already seen that it's good, and I want a lot more of it. I've already seen what this world can give me, and it's not much. I don't have to do things in my own strength anymore. I already got a revelation. I don't have to do things in myself. I don't have to carry the burdens. I know how to cast that stuff over. I know the great exchange. I can exchange who I am. He never built this gospel for me to do it. He built it for him to do it. All he needs me to do is exchange it on over. Just surrender all that and get clothed. You think that you're going to operate in a supernatural gospel in yourself? You're not going to do it. That's what's wrong with the church. They're just presenting the best that man can do. We got to get something a whole lot better than what man can do. Somebody say amen. Oh, this is the favorite psalm right here. I'll close it with this. Psalm 36, you ready? Psalms 36, verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under. Where's their trust at? Under the shadow of his wings. You're going to have to learn to get your life under the shadow of his wings. You're going to keep making mistakes if you don't, because you're running the show. And when you're running it, you will make mistakes. I don't care if you show up in church every week and you serve in church. If you don't get your trust under the shadow of his wings, you'll make mistakes because you're walking in a world you can't see what the enemy puts in front of you. And just because you go to church and even serve in church doesn't give you that. You got to get your life under there. That's why he says, humble yourself under. Most of us won't do that till we suffer enough in our own way. How many of you ever have tasted the fruit of your own way? It's not very good, is it? That fruit don't taste very good, does it? No, sir, it does not. Look at this. That person will be abundantly satisfied with a fat fatness of thine house. You maketh them drink of the river of thy pleasures. I like that. He says, watch this. For with thee is the fountain of life. With thee is the dew of youth. With thee is renewing. Isn't that glorious?